From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. We have a few laughs for you today, and at this point in the news cycle, you might really need them. Comedian Maria Bamford is here, along with our break room gang. Among other topics, we'll talk about who works harder, baby boomers or millennials.
You got a job. That must have been hard considering the financial crisis the baby boomers caused. They may think we're on our phones texting and Twittering all day, but we should cut them some slack. When they were growing up, their parents drank and took naps at work.
That's coming up. First, though, we devoted an hour yesterday to Hispanic Heritage Month, and we tried to explain the difference between being Hispanic and Latino. That's part of a series we call Break It Down. So here are your first thoughts. Aaron Calvert tweeted, "My Spanish ancestors came to the U.S. 400 years ago and intermarried with the Navajo and Pueblo tribes. Am I Hispanic?" So, Aaron, you probably do not have enough Spanish blood at this point to be considered Hispanic, but you could consider yourself just an American with Hispanic and Native American ancestors. We also asked you what topics you would like to have us and our experts explain in the future.
Hi, this is Sarah Thurman from Athens, Georgia. And for the explainer series, I'd love to hear you talk about what a disorder is, or a disease, or an ailment. I get stuck in the literal meaning of dis-ease and disorder, and I don't quite understand what other people mean.
That is a great suggestion. David Cook also called and asked us to talk about the term transgender.
Sometimes, especially online, I see people use the word transgendered, like a past tense verb. I know there are trans is actually an umbrella term, and there are a lot of variations in different sort of groups that people identify with.
That's another great suggestion, and we love getting them from you. You can call us like they did at 404-500-9457. We're also on the Twitter. It's at OST Talk, or reach us on Facebook, and we might feature your comments on the show. She is Stephen Colbert's favorite comedian.
I heard you years and years ago with Marc Maron on the old Air America radio, and I thought, who is this person with these extraordinary voices? This deeply troubled person with extraordinary voices.
Listen, Stephen, a lot of people don't think that I'm this confident woman inside.
No, I have those voices because this one is so less than what I had hoped for.
Maria Bamford has been called one of the 50 funniest people now by Rolling Stone, and her Netflix series Lady Dynamite gets raves from both viewers and critics. She'll perform tonight at the Tabernacle in Atlanta, but right now she is my guest. Maria Bamford, welcome.
Thank you, Celeste, for having me on the program.
It's nice to have you here.
Yes.
I wonder, what is the difference for you in terms of preparation between, because you do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
So how much preparation does it take for, say, a stand-up show as opposed to a scripted comedy, as opposed to a more improvised TV comedy?
Well, for stand-up, my brain may be different from others. I definitely have to rehearse and be ready and have only one set. I don't switch out 1,000 sets or say, oh, God, you know, I'm here in Atlanta, so I'll do my Atlanta bits. No, everyone's getting the same hour from me, so I need to rehearse, and then definitely for the TV show, that was sort of all a blur because I did not realize with TV production, it turns out it's very hard work, and it's like 15 hours.
But you've been
hours.
Doing TV for a very long time. Is it because this was your own show?
Yes, because I was in every scene, and it turns out
that
you've created a full-time job for yourself, which was hilarious that I didn't, that was surprising to me. wait a minute, you guys still need me? I was trying to convince them to write one scene per episode where I was played by someone else, it would be written into the premise that I was too exhausted to do my own TV show, which is partially true.
What about hecklers? Because a lot of times we see there's certain comedians who like make a name for themselves in terms of handling hecklers.
I think that is just so much less likely now. I think with the internet, the people who come to see shows know exactly what they're coming to see. Heckling happens when people have been told, oh, it's going to be comedy, you know, something vague. And then they're said there's a drink minimum and then they're forced to sit through three acts, two of which they're uncertain about, and that's when heckling begins. It's a combination of alcohol and confusing advertising.
So let's talk about Lady Dynamite. The very first episode has what we think is an ad for hair products, and you're flipping your hair as you dance and drive through the city looking totally fabulous. Let's listen to that.
Ain't no man gonna tell me I ain't a woman.
Maria?
Hey, Maria, what are you doing?
A hair commercial?
No. This is not a hair ad. It's the show. It's your show. Let's get you to the van, okay?
My show? I have a show?
So, honey, this kind of plays to your surprise.
Yes. It is. It's a late in life boon. I'm 46. What? Like, I get to have my own.
That's like exactly middle age, though.
Yeah.
You still got another half.
I think it's about the time that Lucille Ball got to did her show. But for somebody with, I don't genuinely have a ton of, I sleep 10 hours a night, that type of thing. I am not a supremely active person. It's spectacular that it's happening. So I'm so grateful. And my husband and I, it's like winning the lottery to have a TV show.
A lottery you have to work really hard for.
We're all 25 years in, but we paid off the house. And now at this point, we could retire to Utah. We figured out financially.
Did you
if
want
we
to?
Wish to. No.
Okay.
So we got to wait a while, but
to upgrade in
upgraded
states.
To perhaps, I mean, not that Utah isn't wonderful. Just we might have to be a little isolated in a smaller area.
So you actually grew up mostly in the Midwest.
Yes.
And I wonder how you feel that may have changed your comedy or your approach to comedy, that you didn't grow up in a place like L.A. or New York or a bigger city.
Well, I'm grateful that I didn't know how many extremely talented people there were in the world and how strong their work ethic was, because I think I would have been ashamed to show, because now I think there's... I just think in Duluth, I grew up in Duluth, Minnesota, where it was very, I know there's a Duluth, Georgia, so I don't want to confuse people.
Yeah.
But my high school was small, so you could participate in everything. And there was never, I just don't remember a lot of pressure about, being the best or going anywhere and, becoming a standout or famous or something like that. So I'm grateful for that in a lot of ways, because I think I might have bailed early had I known what was
what
out
the
there.
Competition
yeah.
was like.
Oh, God.
You know, there has been a kind of, I mean, at least to me, looking from the outside, there seems to be a kind of an evolution in comedy. We have your comedy, which is, it's not turning mental illness into something funny, but it's at least dealing with it in a comedic way. You had Tig Notaro, who's made headlines mm-hmm. for dealing with cancer in
yes.
a comedic way.
Yes.
What do you think is kind of driving this this change?
I think there's a boom in terms of the creativity because of the internet. From what I can tell, it's just you can find more niche audiences, whether it's for music or comedy, that people, there's enough people to support a very specific point of view. I don't think I would have been able to have a career even, 10, 15 years ago, definitely not had a TV show, because I wouldn't be able to connect with all the people who would relate with my specific story. But because... yeah, there's just so much more access, and people can find, Google mental illness, comedian. Oh, well, I'd probably come up, or, something that maybe wasn't accessible before. Like, I didn't realize until I looked it up myself, Jonathan Winters talked about his own mental illness in the 60s, came out, I believe, on the Emmys and said, I'm out, because he had been in a psychiatric institution for 6 months or something. So that's information that's more available now, and you can find, you know, you can find specifically, a Christian comedian who's dealing with depression, who actually exists. And I think I want to say her name is Chandra Pierce.
I think a bunch of people are probably Googling it now.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard she's very good, and it's delightful. It's really made for a comedy boom for sure.
How does that help in general, though, in terms of being able to find niches? Do you see that as sort of a positive force for the audience?
I think it can be positive and negative. Like I was talking to in the lounge out here in the waiting room, just like about politics. Like, well, it's kind of good to talk to people who have a different point of view because.
Yeah.
You learn.
Yeah.
And that is something that I completely can avoid. You know, I do not hear another point of view when I'm at my own shows. Which can be somewhat of a relief. I mean, I think the first 10 years of my career, you know, it's heart-wrenching to have people say, you're funny, you know, to have heckling and all that stuff, which I think you get a lot more of when you're first beginning because you are performing for crowds who neither of you know that the other person was going to be there.
Right.
I had no
Surprise.
Idea you were going to be at this casino too. Whoops. It's neither of our faults. Let's not blame each other.
I mean, you are involved in a couple Netflix projects because you also do a voice for BoJack Horseman, which has been very successful.
Yes.
What do you make of the Netflix phenomenon in a way that they are transforming into an original content service from what started as a company that used to just mail you DVDs?
Yeah, I am just infinitely grateful. Of course, I mean, I think I have a biased point of view, obviously, but it really makes a huge difference for creative people. At least everyone who I talk to who run shows in Los Angeles, where when it was just three networks, and when you went in to pitch something, was this specific? If you didn't have their support, then the idea died. Whereas Netflix and so many other content providers, you can go in, and Netflix, as far as I can tell, said to Mitch Hurwitz and Pam Brady, who are the executive producers
of Arrested Development and South Park.
Yeah, and also for Lady Dynamite, they just said, do whatever you want. Like, I don't remember there wasn't a lot of outside pressure or people saying, well, Rhea needs to get some Botox done, or which I think is very common on the network shows, that there's a lot more watching of what do people want? Oh, turns out Maria, when she her head is over on that side, you know, let's try to get all it, like I just think there's much more. Risk involved, I think, with those shows. Whereas, yeah, it seems like with Netflix and other content providers, they're more loosey goosey and let you do what you want.
We have about 30 seconds left. So, do you do any jokes that you specialize for the South? Do you have to change that?
Well, the only one I love hearing liberal people with a Southern accent. There's just nothing more delightful than, well, my wife and I, you know, we're post-op transgender. And so, you know, we run a vegan barbecue, and we're doing a fundraiser this weekend. I wrote a little song about universal health care. Like my grandpappy says, it's a basic human right.
Comedian, actress, and writer Maria Bamford. You can see her on stage tonight at 8 at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. Her comedy special, Lady Dynamite, is on Netflix. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.